You are about to enter the X-Files Diaries. Broadcasting from an unidentified flying object over Belfleur, Oregon. Here are special agents Charlie, Nick, and Annie.
So, have either of you guys seen Downton Abbey?
Are you kidding me? I love Downton Abbey.
Charlie?
I've casually walked through the room when my wife has been watching it and been like, never mind, and kept on going.
Oh, it's so
not,
good.
It's a great show, but Nick, how long did it take you to notice the similarities between the theme songs?
Once we started watching season 10 of The X-Files.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, because I knew that this mashup existed like a long time ago. Like when I would watch Downton Abbey, I would always think, this sounds like The X-Files. It's just less creepy and like a little more dramatic. But I just don't have the time or energy to combine them. So I'm so glad somebody did, and that's amazing.
It's funny, when I was looking for this mashup, yeah, you're right. Like, the mashups were from, like, 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
So, like, yeah, people...
That's when I saw it. It was that long ago, yeah.
Totally new. So, yeah, welcome to the X-Files Diaries. Got another crazy episode here to talk about this week. Hopefully, this one crazy. Well, it was. I think so. I think there was a lot to it. I think it was emotional. I think it was.
I'm gonna say intense.
It was very intense. It's very deep.
I definitely think this is the most uninteresting episode we've had so far for me personally.
Wow.
Me personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then again, Charlie's way more into plot-oriented stuff and less into character stuff.
So yeah, this continued the tradition of Fox and Dana investigating something and not being successful at like solving the case in any way that matters. All the people who died were going to die. They didn't save anybody. And... you know, like they don't stop any of the crime from happening.
It's telling that you go right there when that's the last thing on my mind after watching that episode.
No, yeah. And I know. And I think that's the other thing is this is a very Scully heavy, emotionally tying thing for Scully. And I'm not, this stuff doesn't play for me. And I'm like, I want to know more about this guy. But even the X-File felt sort of like we'd kind of seen it before.
Well, yeah, I guess kind of. But when you think about it, a lot of their monsters of the week are somewhat similar with some differences.
Yeah, and they are. But like,
you know,
last
when you
week's
have over
so...
200 episodes, I mean, you can only do so much.
Did you really not get the emotional, like societal impact on this? Like the message?
Yeah,
the...
yeah. I liked the kind of political thing that it
Even
was coming.
That was kind of... wow. Forced,
all right.
I thought.
Well, let's get into this episode.
Yeah,
let's please.
We're starting off in West Philly with a homeless camp hosing people down, which is actually it's very funny, not funny. Very
hilarious.
No, the act wasn't funny. No. It ties into it because this is happening right here in Florida. Like we just had a story about this kind of thing where they're you know, like cleaning the homeless people off the street, like get up, go, you know, get them out of here.
Did you guys notice the date on the flyer?
Yes, totally.
Yeah. I think that was really cool because that was exactly yesterday's date.
Yeah, February 9th. Now, was this an episode that was supposed to air in this order? I'm assuming it was.
No, this was the one that was supposed to air second.
They probably
so they
could
must
go
have
in and digitally
it.
Change it or something, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You think they digitally changed the flyer?
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
Or, you know, maybe they did like 5 takes with 5 possible weeks it could have been. You know, it's not a difficult shot.
That's an interesting thing. I wonder which would have been
but
easier.
But that's a really good point, though, because this wasn't supposed to originally air on Monday.
Well,
so.
See, and this is very interesting because on my first watch, I was like, oh, wow, this had to be the episode that was supposed to air second, technically third, I guess. Right? No, second. Yeah.
No, second.
Second. Okay. And I was like, okay, so it should have aired the same night as, or that second night, Monday, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm confusing that, yeah. So when Mulder and Scully came on the scene, they showed their badges, and that was a very, like, opening scene, welcome back to the FBI, right? You got that too?
All all this stuff, they're very much are like, now we're back in the FBI.
The flashlights, now that makes more sense too now.
Yep.
That's a very...
All of that felt a lot more like intro into the series, for sure.
Same thing with the whole like, well, I used to do stairs or whatever, and he's like, you're doing stairs right now or whatever.
Well, that's
what
I mean, the flashlights.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that whole thing is... It very much would fit there. And
wow.
The other thing, though, is when they originally put the order together and they had this one second, they also might not have even known that they were going 1, 2, 3, 4. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
They could have thought maybe they were just doing it one a week. So.
But the Williams stuff seemed very heavy. Like well, I'm glad this was a later episode because of that.
Yeah, I think overall this episode was far too heavy to put that second night. I think it would have not played. And I also think the ending of this was just like to go directly from the ending of this to Weremonster would have been far more jarring.
Wow. Yeah.
Then, you know, so I understand now their decision and I'm fine with it. I do agree that the opening to this was a great intro. And if they had played it more like that, I would have been a little less annoyed by that. Mm-hmm. You know, than how it did play with Founder's mutation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they made the right choice, actually.
Well, and this episode, we kind of all after Founders were like, oh, it would be interesting if each of these episodes kind of flow into the bigger story a lot more than they used to in the past. And it feels like we're going to have two mythology episodes, two semi-mythology episodes, and then two non-mythology episodes, because I don't think next week's is going to go into it, but I feel like this one and Founders both kind of did.
Oh, I think it will. I think that your prediction for what's going on with these, other than Weremonster, is playing out. Like, I think next week will be
mythology
related as well.
Because for some reason, I keep thinking it's going to be a ghost episode, and I don't know why.
Next week we get to see Ravi and Mel. I'm excited.
I am so looking forward to, after just watching a Flash episode where they're on Earth 2 and we have all these doppelgangers, and Ravi and Mel, I find it very fun to go into next week's X-Files episode.
It does look like a lighter episode too.
Yeah. And that's what I like to.
They kind of need that. I mean,
after this episode. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We started this episode and literally everybody on Twitter was like, okay, how much am I going to cry during this episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we'll get there.
So here in this episode, so we have the politician guy, is councilman, maybe something like that. Right.
Something
isn't
like
he
that,
a councilman? Yeah. He goes into his office. I like I like kind of the preset up there. He gets some of the antibacterial stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
On his hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's afraid of germs. But see, I wish they actually got to play that up a little bit more. I wish he got to see some of the, like, you know, the lady towards the end, she got to see like the worms and
like the grossness.
Yeah.
I wish he got to experience some of that too, because that would have probably freaked him out.
You're right. But I guess maybe at the beginning, they don't want to reveal as much, which kind of makes sense.
Probably not.
Who is Band-Aid Nose Man's driver?
Yeah.
Well, there's that. Who knows? I mean, like, that's one of the things that I'm annoyed about because of this one, because it is one of the ones that sort of, it's like early X-Files where you're like, and that's what that was.
Oh, yeah. This was very like
season two,
like very reminiscent of one of those old school. Yeah, I agree with you.
Like,
at
I
least
like
the Monster of the Week portions.
I like the fact that there's monster-ish stuff that we can't explain. Like, I like the idea that there's this random garbage truck driving this guy around.
Mm-hmm. And showing up at weird hours. And yeah.
Right. And people can see the garbage truck. That's fine. But it's part
Nick,
of it.
Nick likes it. I think it went too far. You know, like, it would be interesting if it was just the guy, but then he's got all these like accessories as part of his storyline that you
no,
start
I
going.
No, I like
oh,
that he's in a garbage
crazy.
Truck.
No, I like that if he then was explained or something.
It doesn't need to be explained.
They don't ever explain anything on this show.
It's just another manifestation. I mean, that's how
this
guy
is
gets
what
around.
The X-Files does so good is it makes everyday mundane things like freak you the fuck out. And I will always, now, when I see a garbage truck, think of this.
Oh, yeah. If I see a garbage truck down the street, I'm going to think that there, I'm going to look behind it after it drives away and see if there's a reveal of some Band-Aid nose, dude.
Yeah. Whereas without that truck, it would be, it would not be nearly as interesting.
It really wouldn't be. It wouldn't be as creepy because you just see the Band-Aid guy show up. Okay.
No, and I guess
you'd be wondering, how did he get there?
Right.
Well, he took a garbage truck. Of course. Come on.
I understand this episode on a very like academic level, and I understand how like this monster then translates to things later in the episode that are emotional for Scully. But to me, I can't enjoy it beyond going, oh, well, A connects to B connects to C. Okay, I see that.
All right, well, let Annie and I talk about it. I also think if you took out the trash truck, You take out that real deep connection to trash and that symbolism there.
Right. Because he comes with the trash and then he goes away with the trash. And that's the symbol. Yeah, for sure. And I also like the kind of casual way he just kind of gets into the truck and lays down. Like, that was great. I was just like, what? Loved it.
I loved it, too. Because I was like, is it going to crush? It's going to crush him. All right. Well,
no, we'll but see. It doesn't crush him because it just shuts.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those.
But it doesn't. It comes down, but it never does the second half of the push. I think it does.
I think you hear it. You hear it go.
Does it really matter?
It doesn't because it
doesn't kill him. So.
You know, but that's a good. All this is kind of a good point because I think the sounds in this episode were incredible.
No, they were. Mm-hmm. They were good.
They were incredibly good, incredibly creepy, incredibly squishy, incredibly crunchy.
My wife was very much like sitting on the couch doing some stuff while I was watching and being like, Charlie, what are you making me watch and why are you giving me nightmares?
I just say, Nick, of the three of us, I think it's pretty messed up that Charlie's the one that got a shout out in this episode. Gotta
yes,
say.
That, okay, there. That's the first thing. Who is he?
Okay, are we good in there yet?
We'll
or are we gonna wait?
We'll get there. We'll get to who is Charlie.
Yeah, yeah. Because I want to talk about the two. Did you guys notice that Skinner wasn't in the credits this week?
Oh no.
Nope. No Skinner.
That probably makes sense because it's been.
He wasn't even in this episode, so I was actually kind of glad to see that. But I was just like, oh, okay, so he's just gonna be in some of them. But I did notice that
there were at least a couple of tweets I saw last night that were saying, hey, where's Skinner? We want more Skinner.
Yeah. Well, he'll be back. I'm not worried about it.
So this trash guy can obviously like really manipulate material objects, which I thought that was the weirdest part of his abilities.
You mean Rancid Tim Armstrong? Is that who you're talking about? Trash man.
Yeah.
He's the lead singer of Rancid.
Okay, that makes
sense. Not the actual monster, but the artist. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. No. Well,
no,
I'm talking,
he's talking
about
the monster.
Talking about the monster.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The monster himself can, well, because like when he gets in, it feels like when he gets into, like you hear these like noises and stuff. And again, when I watched it a second time, I think I realized those noises were him moving the cameras. But I don't think he's actually touching them. You know what I mean? Because I think he moves the camera in the guy's office before he even gets in there.
Right.
So he like has this ability. He blows down the door. He has.
He also has the ability to like teleport.
Force running.
Okay.
He's a Jedi. I really love. I mean, I know it's gruesome as heck, but I mean, I like the idea of how he kills these people. Like it's very brutal.
This is why
and...
you let the Wookiee win.
Yeah, exactly. It's very medieval.
Yeah. I mean, they could have done it in a numerous different ways, but they decided to just go like brutal and vicious and angry.
This definitely got the gross points.
Yeah.
I like how Mulder has like scientifically knows that in medieval times it took four large horses running at full speed to rip a body apart. So he's like, that takes a lot of, you know, like he's got this like scientific basis for like how much force is required to rip somebody's arms apart.
But he would.
No, he would. Totally. I've said I liked it. Yeah.
He has always the right facts just perfectly ready on hand.
Now, when Mulder and Scully came in to investigate this, there was a really weird scene where, like, I think it feel like it could have been cut out because they went very, like, TV crime show and where they were fighting about the jurisdiction of the thing for a couple seconds. It was just weird. Like, that was very not needed because it didn't even set up anything. Like, that, it's not like the cop was mean down the road.
I think that's a leftover of the whole potentially being the second episode.
You think? You think there's more to that?
Yeah,
I think you're right. It was a little, maybe a little clunky right there just because it didn't flow.
Setting up the whole FBI and what that actually means to as a refresher.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. Bother me.
So, yeah. So the Art Mulder sees on the building. I called him Trash Man, but I guess he's Nose Band-Aid Nose Man.
Right.
The artist is Trash Man.
Correct.
So is it the idea where that's what he manipulates himself to be? Is he usually the painting unless he's the physical being walking around? Or is he usually the sculpture down in that basement?
I was wondering that too, because I think he could pretty much be like whatever Trash Man kind of imagines him to be.
Okay.
It really made me think of, which is funny because, you know, Never Again was an episode that was part of this trilogy. It made me think of the tattoo, how like the tattoo kind of came to life. And I was like, oh, so do we have graffiti art now coming to life? But it wasn't just that the graffiti art was coming to life. I think it was that that was kind of his way of just announcing his presence. You know,
what do you think? When Band-Aid Nose Man was in his physical form walking around stalking somebody or killing somebody, do you think the sculpture inside Trash Man's lair existed, or did that actually come to life and go somewhere, or did it just manifest itself out of there, but the sculpture was still sitting there?
I don't know.
Yeah, that one, Charlie? That's how I interpreted it, was that the sculpture and all the artwork and everything was just was always there, and he was able to manifest this guy who then kind of comes from nowhere in his trash truck and then leaves again. And it's not like Doctor Who episode where they like get sent up against the wall and become two dimensional.
Yeah.
I think then the artist guy then comes and paints these things as sort of a Banksy sort of exhibit, but it's not not him throwing himself up on the wall. It's him. It's the artist coming back after he's left and doing something.
Wow. So the artist actually did paint the up on the side of the building.
Yeah. But then I'm wondering how he came off the painting. Because remember I don't
think he actually did. I think he just showed up like he did with everybody else.
No, he's missing from the painting. I think, so you guys are helping me out here. I think once he's painted, he can then come off of that.
Right.
And come to life.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes more sense. He's painted up there and then he can come off of it in the same way that, I've sculpted him and then he could come to life. And
almost like a portal.
Yeah.
So he's sort of like Mirror Master.
Because he definitely came off of the wall when the art thieves had him in that warehouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
He definitely came off of it.
And I feel like I think that scene was to set that up, because I also kind of wrote in my notes, I was like, what was the real purpose of that scene? I mean, those guys were profiting from homeless people. I get it. So they weren't as bad necessarily as the politicians and board members.
That was the comment that they made, though. He's like, who knew the homeless could make us so rich? Or so, you know, they kind of made those guys appear pretty despicable. And so it was twofold. It was to kind of set up the idea of how this guy gets around, and also to show, hey, I'm going to kill anyone who is threatening these people.
It definitely took me two watches to understand the woman's complaint the first time around. You know, the one who got the injunction and everything. When I first watched it, it went by so fast that I was like, what is she?
Same here.
And especially because then Mulder like says, neither of you are really looking out for them. And I was like, wait, what's going on? And then to watch it the second time, you're like, oh, okay, I see it now.
I agree.
Well, and to be fair, I think the woman had the least horrible. She was looking out for the students of her school in a way.
But then you realize she was from a privileged.
Yeah. Her house. It was very clear what she was really
she
all
was
about.
She was an 09er.
Yeah.
As I'm learning.
Veronica Mars. I'm okay with those references.
Yeah. Okay. No Fringe, but Veronica Mars. Okay. I think there's more to it, because she was getting the injunction based on the fact, because she was complaining because one of these people might have murdered this guy, and that's right. why she didn't want him around. But I think even if the murder hadn't happened, she was already on that train.
Agreed.
So she would, she just happened to, you know, so that it was deeper than that. Yeah, exactly.
She seized an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I hear you.
All right. So let's get to the phone call. The phone call Scully receives.
That was such a mind fuck when they did, because right? I totally thought when I saw that in the trailer or wherever I saw that it was really going to be William.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't understand. Why does it say William first?
She is seeing it that way.
Remember, even when Mulder called, she saw William.
She sees
first.
It as William when Mulder calls as well.
Okay,
I think that's just to show that this is never off her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Never off her mind.
Okay.
She wants it to be William every time the phone rings.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Even though she wouldn't necessarily have William's name.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the point.
Always a problem with these things, because whenever you call any place, the phone number pops up and you're like, no, random people will call another person's cell phone and it'll pop up as something. And you'll be like, no, you don't get it to pop up unless you've personally programmed that name in.
Oh.
So when random killer calls you, you haven't already put in his name, you know?
Right. It doesn't say random killer.
I also didn't quite buy that it would say William Scully Jr. because nobody calls him that. It would probably just say Bill.
Bill, yeah.
Or Billy or something like that. And I guess I get that they wanted it to be very similar to William, so I get why they did it. But I was like, I don't know if Scully would have typed his entire full name.
Especially because they did the same mind trick when it was Mulder, which is completely different. So they
it was unnecessary.
Well,
yeah.
No. I think the mind trick with Mulder then helped flesh out the first
happening.
One. Yeah. Because the first one, you're like, what? What's going on? Then with Mulder, it's kind of like, this is why this is, like you said, what she always wants to happen.
Right.
I totally, if it was like my sister, I would have totally put her in as like a nickname or something. I wouldn't like write the whole thing out. Why is her kid named the same as her brother?
Okay, let's flesh this out here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Williams in the X-Files, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Not to mention cigarette-smoking man's real name, the actor.
Which, let's not confuse things. Scully makes it clear. Mulder asks her, what are you going to call him? And she says, William. And then she says, after your father. So William is named after Mulder's father.
Wow.
But I believe Mulder's middle name is William, and I believe that, or I don't believe, I know that Scully's father is named William as well.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
William. And her brother is William. So there's a lot of Williams, but she does make it clear in that episode that she named William after Mulder's father.
Yeah.
So,
it's just convenient. It also happens to be my father.
It's a pretty common name.
Yes. Especially in this world of X-Files.
But they never.
Why is that not an X-File?
Yeah. I just like it's weird because I never think because they call him Bill Mulder, right? Usually,
who
when they're talking about Mulder's father,
right? But Bill is short for William.
No, and I understand that, but that's why I guess that connection is not real quick to my.
Right. It's not something that's going to leap to your mind, but you're not going to name a baby Bill.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. It just doesn't sound right.
Billy.
It's funny how we do that with names. Like, it's weird that, like, one version of the name is right for a kid, but when they get older, you have to change it. Like,
Well, mine's like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it could be.
Yeah. What'd they call you when you were a kid?
Well, I've just never grown up enough to be a Charles.
When will I be a Charles?
And to me, Charles is always more like if I were like Charles the Third, or you know what I mean? Like I need to be like a little bit more regal. And I'm not a Chuck either.
Right.
Chuck is a guy who's got like tattoos and like rides a motorcycle or something, you know.
I know you don't like it when they call you Chuck, but
And Chaz is just really weird.
Oh man.
Yeah. No, I just like to change it up
every once
in a while.
That didn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
That's why I go with the Chuck. You would think if you didn't get the Charles when you got married, it's not gonna happen.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's okay though.
It is. You'll be okay.
I'm Charles sounds like a name of somebody who's like kind of a dick. You know what I mean? Like it's Charles.
Since we're talking about this name, why don't we talk about Charlie?
Yes.
Who is he?
I was born in 19. Oh.
No. Please no. I was thinking that Charlie has maybe been mentioned, maybe at least saw him in a flashback or something, but I honestly did not recall ever hearing about him before.
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm pretty well versed in this universe.
Everybody online just sort of was like, yep. Like I didn't see a lot of like, who the heck is that?
You know? Yeah, I didn't either. And maybe I would love if anyone out there can tell us what episode they talk about him. I'm thinking maybe in some of the flashbacks where we see Scully as a child, maybe we see him or maybe they mention him. But I honestly don't remember them talking about him.
Well, because he's estranged, right?
I mean, he could have been mentioned in passing and I just missed it or I just don't remember.
He was estranged since he was 8.
Yeah. When he was 4, he emancipated himself and walked away through the sandbox over the trees.
But yeah, I don't remember him at all.
Maybe the alien DNA started a little earlier than we thought in that family line. Anyway, ooh, is that
well? Let's talk about Mama Scully a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it. What's up with her?
Were you guys kind of seeing this coming? Like, I don't know why. I thought the only way, like, I know I said a couple weeks ago, I thought the only way we were really going to see her would be in flashback. But then I was thinking that, it's possible that, you know, Scully's going to go through another tragedy. Let's do some more shit to her.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, I don't know. I knew she was a goner, like, as soon as Scully got the phone call.
Yeah, there was no reason to keep her alive through the episode, especially, I don't know. To me, this is another one of those things that sort of indicates that we shouldn't be expecting another season. Like, we shouldn't expect another season of X-Files after this.
Why are you so against it? Like, I think it's pretty clear they're going to do more.
But I would
seem
love
like
it.
Hell bent on
I
the
think
idea
this podcast would make a lot more sense if they do. but I don't, it seems like an odd choice. Like, to me, if they hit and this hits really good, you go out on top. Like, you don't then go, you don't do what the X-Files did before, you know, where you're like, oh, well, we'll keep doing it until it starts getting bad again. You know what I mean? Like hit the high and then be done.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the merit in that, but I mean, I'm also not a network looking to make money. So,
all right, so let's just kind of jump through the there's kind of three big hospital scenes here in a row that are interspersed through here. So we have mom asking for her son Charlie, the only one she asked for. Seems like Dana was a little hurt, maybe.
Yeah. What was about that when she said, "I'm here, Bill's here," and then she said, "William's here."
Yeah. Do you think she
I thought that she just meant he's here in the world of the living.
Yes, that's what it means to me. Yeah.
See, I thought she was lying to her mom to get up her spirits, and so her mom would wake up and be like, "Where?" And then she'd be like, "Ah, I tricked you."
No.
That would be messed up.
Just kidding. But you're awake now, yay!
Because she said, "Like, I know you're where I used to be," or she said something like that.
Yeah, I used to be where Ahab is. Where? Yeah. I think that's definitely what it is. It's dead versus alive. It's not physically there.
Completely, totally. But I also think, too, that was a moment for her, another moment. She had so many in this episode where she realized, I don't even know if he's alive. I don't know anything about, I don't know where he is. I don't know how he is. And I think that in that moment, all those thoughts went into her head. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why she made that face.
It seems really weird to me if Founders was actually supposed to be episode 5 and this was episode 2, how you go through this episode and the next episode is not, hey, we're looking for William.
Yeah, agreed. And even that episode or that conversation they had in Founders that brief conversation they had about William where she said, you know, was I just an incubator?
Yeah.
Like that seems like a intro into this conversation and this was the meat of it, you know?
So I think we're going to look back on this like they made the right choice to switch these around.
I could see that. Yeah.
I already am thinking that.
No, I agree. There's two halves of this, though. Like, if they had gotten the first half earlier, I would have loved it because it would have made sense and it would have explained the X-Files stuff a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But then definitely the second half of this is definitely leading into whatever the finale is.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Now, kind of setting aside the William thing for a moment, do you think, am I looking too deep into this for other weird meanings? Was this also a little bit about, not necessarily about this, but it was like kind of Scully facing mortality, and but we watchers of this show have the idea in the back of our head that she is immortal.
Maybe.
Are they playing with that at all, you think? Or is that me looking a little too
after much? Last week's episode, I definitely had that in the back of my mind after Scully said a couple of things. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you exactly what they were, but she feels in this episode more like she's facing mortality than she did jokingly in last week's episode.
Like, yeah. there's a finite amount of time and I have to make things right.
Yeah, yeah. And yep. I need to find William so that way I know he's okay, and that will then make it okay for me to leave this world.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think they've been playing that up pretty heavily throughout the entire season so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know we mentioned Weremonster, but I think it's come up before. I think it's overall kind of a theme that they're dealing, especially with Scully.
Didn't I say last week that I thought Scully might die?
Yes, yeah. You did.
Yeah. So now this seems like more proof.
Yeah.
More proof.
Especially well, we'll see. Especially with the younger Scully being introduced next week. Speaking of younger Mulder and Scully, we got a little flashback while they were in the hospital.
Oh, right.
What'd you think of that?
I thought that was odd because it was from Mulder's perspective, but Scully was remembering it.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe she heard him. But maybe she heard him. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, she's in a coma. I guess so.
It was an odd place for it, I think.
Do you see, that's why I almost think that scene was less Scully remembering it and, hey, viewers, take a look at this.
Yeah, like, look at this. It's just like that one scene where they were on each, like, just like that one of out of 20 scenes where one or the other of them was in a hospital bed.
Yep. <You know. laughs> I did the first time I saw the first flashback of somebody giving birth. I don't think I recognized that it was Scully at the time.
I actually didn't realize that was Scully at the time either.
Yeah, until a couple of scenes later when I'm like, wait, no, Scully's talking about herself in this situation. Okay,
you know, one day when your wives, future wives, have kids, you won't recognize them either in that moment. Tell you right now.
Experience speaking here.
Especially not at that angle.
What were the meaning of the jewelry and coins?
Yeah, do you guys have any theories on that?
No, and it was
not the
weird.
Jewelry, just the quarter. The I mean, just obviously the jewelry was her wedding ring.
Yeah, the quarter was the big thing, right?
It's the quarter. What do you guys think about the quarter?
Well, see, I was really confused about it. It wasn't until the second time through that I realized that was from the mom for some reason. Like, somehow I missed that the first time around. So that was actually even in the beginning of the second time through, I had that written down as one of the things that I was going to have to ask you about because I don't remember what the symbolism of the quarter was.
Right. Nobody
and it
knows.
Doesn't seem like it is. Yeah.
We've never, ever seen it before. So what do you guys think?
Maybe unless it's like a reference to PTO or something.
Well, it's very interesting because she was obviously, she was holding it, right? That's what was around her neck that she was holding at the end, right? Like not at the end, but while she was in the trash man's lair. Wasn't
you
she
mean Scully? No, she's wearing it.
She,
I think at that point
she starts holding it after she wears it. Yeah, right. There are moments where she keeps it. It's now a touchstone for her to like think about.
Yeah, she's taken it. She's I need this. This represents all the mysteries that I'm never going to know.
Yeah,
right. No, she definitely did. But that is what she's touching when she zones out in the trash man's lair, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's holding. Okay,
I believe so. Yeah. I think that what did that quarter mean to Mama Scully?
Yeah, I have an idea, but unfortunately it is related to my musings of a podcast host.
Okay,
we'll
get
I'm
to
hold
that.
Off.
I don't really have a solid theory based on this, but like when I think of a quarter, I just think of somebody making a decision, like heads or tails.
Wow.
And so I thought maybe this quarter represented a big decision that the mom had made. And I don't know what that could possibly be, but that is kind of where my brain went.
I like that.
You might have just explained my musing. Interesting. All right. I had a musing. I didn't know what it meant, but you might have explained it.
Well, we'll get to it later. Right.
No, cool. I like that. That's a good idea. I mean, like, quarter. Or maybe she just really needed to make sure that one day back when she was a kid, she'd have enough money to make a pay call in a phone if she was ever lost.
I don't think that coin's fitting into a payphone, though.
Well, you pop it out and then you stick it in the
payphone. Oh, okay.
I meant to look this up. Is there like such, is there an official thing as a living will registry? Like, is that an online?
Oh, I have no idea.
Thing that you do? Because they've been a very, like, they didn't just
they
say
shit. Living will. A couple of times. Like,
plug, plug. We have a living will registry. Just like we're driving around in the Toyota or whatever it was, Honda, whatever car.
Oh,
we're driving
yeah, I did that totally went over my head. Again, if it's product placement, it's terrible product placement.
Seems like. Like, I almost thought someone would jump in. Yes, I should get a living will registry, too.
No, I don't know. That's no, you like don't think it was a weird thing to advertise.
No, it, yeah.
A little bit. But no, less an advertisement and more like a statement. Like, everybody should have a living will.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like a not a political statement, but something like that.
Statement.
Yeah. A message, kind of.
A message.
Yeah, yeah.
I just felt a little bit too out of place, and I forgot to Google it, but oh well.
How funny. That didn't even stick out to me at all. You guys glom onto the weirdest things.
That is true. That's I really
why, like, that's why seriously, we're here. Who cares?
When you do podcasts about TV shows, you start to look at it differently.
Real quick, I have to say, too, when Bill calls, I don't know if you guys remember Bill at all. It's interesting
Bill.
That we don't even hear his voice, and you don't even have to hear his voice for his, you know, dick waddishness to come across.
Yeah.
Like, I always hated that guy. Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So I'm a little confused. Who is the guy who was actually there?
Who? Well, nobody was actually there.
And the nurses.
Wasn't there another a man who actually shows up?
No.
Yeah, his name is Mulder. He's played by David
okay,
Duchovny.
No, I know what Charlie's talking about. He got messed up by the flashback, too. The flashback with Mulder, a very young Mulder that almost doesn't even look like Mulder, sitting by Scully's side. They flash to it.
I'm starting to worry that Charlie is not paying enough attention and maybe needs to stop live tweeting.
On my first watch, really quickly, I was like, oh, William showed up. The brother showed up to the bedside. But then I quickly realized they were showing the flashback that was Mulder. But it almost... It was such a young Mulder, it didn't even hardly look that.
You
I think that's what
see
you're talking about.
How wide my jaw is open right now that you didn't know that that was Mulder.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure if that's what, since you made that comment.
I felt like there were like three brothers suddenly.
It was right
like,
around this time.
Why are the brothers the same name? Like, yeah, I was confused. Sure.
All right, go take a nap.
You have confused the hell out of me.
Yeah, I know.
Let's move on.
So, all right, so we get to the spot. As far as Scully knew, there was a keep me plugged in order for Mama. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. then they found out that actually,
she had changed it.
Yeah, she had changed it. Do not resuscitate if unconscious or I could survive.
Maybe that's the message.
Maybe that's
that
the coin
she flipped
flip.
The coin for. Yeah,
maybe ooh, that. Interesting.
And that was her facing her own mortality.
Yeah.
Is that so? There were two naval officers. Maybe one,
three
was
I
on
believe.
One side. One, no, there were two.
Yeah, I think they said two.
It was signed by two naval officers. Okay. Was there a joke there?
No.
Oh, the way he's looking at me. Like,
again, who cares? Moving on.
Anyway, but no. I mean, that's the coin. Two sides of the coin. There's one was for it, one was against it. She flipped the coin, and the other one agreed to sign it too.
No, come on. She can make decisions for herself.
Well, then
she's
she apparently didn't.
Pants.
She apparently didn't. Who were these two naval officers that forced her to do this?
No.
Nobody forced her.
They're witnesses.
Why'd she have naval officers do it?
Because her husband was a naval officer.
That's probably who she knows.
Really?
Yeah, they're probably just friends.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You don't think this was a conspiracy?
No. Wow. I think the naval officers are meant to be a showing that it's not just some random hobo she picked up off the street vouching for her.
About this decision.
It was friends of the family
who
are in good standing in everything that say, yes, we are.
Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Because we're here to support whatever decision you make.
And it's not about the decision that she's making. It's more about the change of the decision that she's making.
Right.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
but again, like, I guess because I'm watching The X-Files, everything's automatically conspiracy to me. I thought they were going to have to uncover, like, what did she get mixed up in that two naval officers came to her house and made her change her
living
will?
I
get it.
It
now.
Doesn't
I get
pan
it
out
now.
Like that, but I totally understand the instinct.
Okay. That's.
You didn't immediately remember that Scully's father was a naval officer? Then I can see where you get that.
Even but. I knew that.
Yeah. Ahab, yeah, come on.
Okay, you know what happened 15 years ago. You don't know what happened yesterday in this episode.
I got my strengths, okay?
We appreciate it.
You,
you link circumstances to weird other shows. I like that. That's your superpower.
So Mulder shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I wanted to comment too that when they first showed like the very first trailer, and you see her answering the phone, and he's like, "I'm here," and then it cuts to him like right outside the door. I was always like, "Okay, that's a little dramatic, Mulder. Like, why don't you just knock?" And now it totally makes sense. You know, he has to be led into the ICU. Like, so it was nice to finally see that with some clarity.
Yeah. He's just like, "I'm here."
Yeah, I was like, okay.
This call is coming from inside the hospital.
Fancy way of saying, hello, I've arrived.
But I think that's one of the things. There's a reoccurring theme of the sentence, "I'm here."
Yeah.
They say it several times during the episode.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things that it happens several times. So
that's
why
they do it. Says that because there's multiple meanings to it, not just "I'm here physically in the building." I'm here for you. I've arrived to support you. Like, I liked that a lot.
And kind of building on that, I'd actually say there's more to stuff Mulder didn't say than he did. And there's two circumstances here. So the first one is here. Basically, you have Mulder and Scully sitting there, and Scully brings up, "William, what's this coin?" And my mom, and he kind of keeps asking her questions. He's asking him questions. She keeps asking him questions. And he doesn't answer. He just holds her, and he's there. Mm-hmm. Later on, at the very end, she's questioning everything, basically, you know, saying, you know, we're responsible. We need to go after him and things like that. And she asks another question, and he's just silent. He sits there.
Yeah.
He is the perfect guy. Like, he figured it out. All other guys have to look. Women don't want answers to any of these
questions.
You are
totally 100% right. And that is why Mulder is the best.
Yeah. This is why Mulder is.
I thought it was the Red Speedos.
The perfect guy. He figured it out. They're not actually asking you questions.
Right, right.
They don't want answers to these things. They just want you to hold them and comfort them.
And listen.
Yeah, and listen.
Listen. That's the main thing.
Do not answer those questions.
Right. And that you're right. He has figured it. And I think you're right. And you know, we're kind of making a joke, but you're also kind of being serious.
Yeah.
But it also is, he just doesn't really know what to say.
He's
okay. And so rather than stick his foot in it, he's like, "I'm just going to listen to you and not say anything."
Yeah. That little smoldering look and just hold her. Yeah. And that's it.
But so, he did everything right. He did everything right in this episode. So I loved that. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, now I know. I mean, like, I've always made that mistake. I've always answered those questions as best as I could.
Right.
Now I know. I'm ready for my next relationship. Mulder has shown me the
way.
Shut
up.
He has. I am exactly. I'm so proud. Oh. You know what? I tweeted earlier.
Where do you want to go to dinner, babe?
No. Those ones. Those ones you should answer. I tweeted out earlier today I don't know if you guys caught it, the similarities between the home scene and the home again scene on the bench. Did you guys see that?
No.
Okay. Well, there's this scene, you know how home is supposed to be the first in this trilogy.
Yeah.
Well, they harken back to it
with the log.
With a shot of them on the bench. And if you go look at it on the Twitter, if you guys have a computer near you, you'll see what I'm talking about. They're sitting in the exact same positions with the exact same body language. And it was intentional. I mean, Glenn Morgan said it was intentional. He wanted it to kind of mirror that episode, which is really cool. But he, there's also, I rewatched that scene in Home again today just because I was curious. I remembered something that they said and I was curious. And I wanted to read you what
you
they said.
You rewatched that scene in Home again? Or did you rewatch scene
in Home
again?
Again.
Okay.
Yeah. Just the scene on the bench. And it's right after they discover, you know, they're called in and they find the baby with all the defects, you know, and Scully's really thrown by it. And then she's done the exam and then they're walking out and Scully says, "Imagine all a mother's hopes and dreams for her child. And then nature turns so cruel. What must a mother go through?"
Yeah.
And Mulder says, "Apparently not much in this case if she just threw it out with the trash." And I thought that was so I kind of got chills when I heard it because I was like, okay. The whole theme with the trash.
Yeah.
In this episode, like I don't know how intentional that was. I'm sure it was partially intentional, and it kind of explains the trash man.
No, I agree. That definitely makes it more sensible.
Wow.
You know,
it had to be, yeah.
Because, I mean, I was thinking, like, okay, I guess they could have taken this trash monster of the week and put it in a completely different episode. But knowing that and knowing how all of these kind of correlate to each other made me think, wow, okay, it does kind of work. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. And especially what Scully is saying there is so poignant, knowing now what she's going through right now. I thought that was really interesting. Really interesting. Very good writing.
Yeah.
Very good. Well done, Glenn Morgan.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty phenomenal right there.
Yeah. So, I know I just blew your mind.
No, seriously, though, to
extrapolate from that one line from an episode 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think it is actually, like, exactly 20 years ago. Like,
yeah.
Do you think they knew... And they remembered enough intimately, or do you think they actually probably went back and watched maybe some of their key episodes?
I think they had to go
back. I'm sure they went.
I think the writers themselves don't know the series as well as a lot of the fans. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things.
I think that's true in most cases.
Yeah, they're too close to it, probably.
Yeah. Too close to it, and they have to keep moving on.
Yeah.
Whereas fans have the opportunity to watch the final product over and over again. Mm. They have to go through rehearsals and stuff. You'll find that all the time with, like, Simpsons writers and writers of other sci-fi type shows where people are like, hey, I want to know this. And they're like, I literally said that line. And then 2 seconds later, I had to memorize another line.
I'm going to name drop for a second. When my husband and I went out for drinks with Damon Lindelof, our good buddy, and we were talking to him about Lost, and we would bring things up and he'd be like, I don't remember that. I don't even know what you're talking about. Which I thought was awesome. I was like, you don't even know what we're talking about.
That is funny. It's
true. It's not specific to any show. It's true in every case. They move on and we don't. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah. Same in sports. We get caught up in wins and losses and the players kind of move on. They have another game to play.
Yep.
Crazy.
Like when the Patriots lost.
Hey, Cardinals lost too. We're in the same boat. Back at the hospital now when mom is dying.
And then she calls Charlie.
She calls Charlie, but there's a few interesting lines before. I thought it was a funny exchange. One of the better exchanges of the episode. Because Scully's wishing for a way, like she says, didn't we come across somebody who could bring?
I think it was more like, why didn't we? I don't know, but it was one of those things like we've been doing this for so long,
right? Didn't
why have we never come across this kind of thing?
And then, this leads us into my shippy moment of the week. I thought this was the best ever. First of all, everything else was, like, just too sad. Right. It was just too sad. But this, and it wasn't even really, it was what he said, but it wasn't even really what he said. It was just the way he was looking at her when he said it.
Good choice.
It was amazing. And I have a screen cap of that back on my desktop at work right now. And I'm going to tweet it later. It was amazing. And when she says, you're a dark wizard, Mulder. He's like,
that was great. That was great.
He goes, what else is new? Or he says something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that was the best. That was the
going
best.
Back to what Nick said, though. She says something about how have we not been able to will somebody back to life? And I think it's really interesting because that's technically not back to life, but willing life into existence leads back to the monster also.
And
I thought that exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that parallel. Once again,
that's really good. Actually, I didn't think of that.
Academically, it makes a lot of sense to me.
No,
but
it makes a lot of sense because. No,
I said it makes a lot of sense.
Well, academically
it makes a lot of sense.
I really don't know what academically it makes a lot of sense means. I just think generally it makes a lot of sense. Like what? Smartly it makes a lot of sense?
On one level?
I think it makes a lot of sense on all kinds of levels.
It makes sense on several levels.
Yeah, because the fact that he put, if you think about it, and this may be even deeper than you thought, because the trash man put so much emotion, so much... power of thought and everything into his art that it came to life and
that's
did
exactly
like,
what I meant. Yeah,
but I mean Mulder put that much into willing
Scully
that Scully didn't die.
Yeah,
yeah, no, and I the agree. Same, and that's why they kept showing too with her willing William into existence. Same thing.
Yeah.
So it was all that it all kind of paralleled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was the best scene in the entire episode. I just thought that was fantastic. Good choice, Andy.
Thank you.
That I definitely applaud. That was really good. Because at first I thought you were going to go for the when Mulder did show up there, because she gave such a look of love to Mulder when mm-hmm. he was on the other side of that door, like yeah. love and relief. And
well, there were everything. So, I can't even name them. There's so many great moments between the two that felt so genuine that I almost thought it was just genuine acting between those two actors, which, you know, in my deepest, darkest fantasies, it is. But like even the part where the very, very beginning when she got the first phone call and he tells her to go.
Yeah.
He says, go. And he kind of reaches for her, like he kind of almost grabs her hair or something. Yeah. And it was just such a nice gesture, like what you would do if there's something was happening to someone you really cared about that was just so terrible. It felt very natural. And I felt like the two of them together this entire episode, whether you want to look at it as a romantic or even just really, really good friends, was so great. Just great, great acting and touching. And that scene in particular, I thought was, well, I mean, that was clearly obviously romantic, but great.
And that led now to where Charlie calls and Mom wakes up with Charlie's voice.
Mm. Yeah.
This is interesting. I mean, I don't know what you guys think why she said what she did.
Yeah. What's with the, she says, my son's name, William, too.
Yeah.
To Mulder. Well, I thought Mulder. It was so adorable how she looked at him and she seemed so happy to see him.
Very happy.
Yeah. And she knew exactly who she was or who he was. Mm-hmm. She knew exactly who William was. She knew what, and I don't know. It was just, and poor Dana, I don't want to call her Dana. It's weird to me. Poor Scully was just so heartbroken. Like in she was happy that she was happy to see Mulder. But at the same time, she was like, why? Why would you say that? Like, now you have added to my grief, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there because, one, Mom doesn't look at me, recognize me again.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't ask for me when she came in. She didn't look at me when she woke up. Mm-hmm. She didn't talk to me. And yes, and then she adds the layer to the mm-hmm. William worry.
And then on top of it all, she just dies.
She just dies. And I do have a question for you because you know the deepest, darkest stuff about X-Files. And I don't remember, what does Mom know about William? Does Mom know why William was given up or any of that?
No. I mean, I'm sure she does, but I don't know how much Scully's told her or what Scully has told her. They never have had a scene with her since Scully gave William up.
Yeah. Yeah. Or did they even have a scene with her since Scully gave birth?
Yeah, because the mom was there a lot to watch William.
Oh, okay.
So the mom had a relationship with William.
Okay.
And we saw it on in season 9.
Mm, okay, but the viewer doesn't have an explanation as to what Grandma knew.
Correct.
Okay.
So we don't know. And again, it could have been like, I my mind keeps turning over and over and over what poor Mama Scully has been thinking this entire time. Like what, that's her grandkid, you know, and he's just, one day he's just gone. And, you know, she doesn't know the ins and outs of the X-Files. It's like, Scully tells her, oh, these aliens are after him. What's she going to think about that? You know? So, I mean, I part of me thinks that Scully had to have made something up.
Yeah.
Right. So work got in the way, something like that.
Yeah. Or I mean, I obviously her, she knows Mama Scully knows that Scully's job is dangerous. Her sister got killed. You know, Scully's nearly been killed several times. William was nearly killed. Like she knows that there's people after them. Like, so it's possible that Scully could have just said, look, I can't really get into details, but his life is in danger and he's better off anonymous.
Yeah. So you don't think she even went so far as to say William died? No, because then there would have been a funeral. There
no, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. I think she knows. Yeah.
She knows she gave him up. But
I think she knows that she gave him up, but maybe doesn't know exactly why.
And maybe that's maybe the message is that she knows that she, one of the biggest mistake or regret that she has in her life is not getting to know Charlie better or not,
right.
not reconnecting with Charlie. And so she's trying to warn them,
both of them.
About
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's pretty much what Scully says at the end. That's yeah. kind of the realization.
Exactly. Yeah. I also liked the deeper meaning when Scully is talking to Trash Man about how it becomes his fault for willing this thing into thing and then leaving it and not dealing with it and that's then the mistake that everybody else is making kind of thing. It's totally yeah. her talking about her own kid.
She says that he's responsible like he made the problem and then he's ignoring it.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that she, of course, like, you know, we can't begrudge her whatever guilt she's feeling. I get that. But I don't think she's ignoring anything. Like, I think she obviously made the right decision doing what she did. I think that she feels terrible about it because she's a mother and she had to give up her child. But it's clear that she feels guilty.
Yeah.
She doesn't, you know, she's not ignoring anything. And so I don't necessarily agree with the parallel, but I can see how she can feel that way.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Did you guys, again, I might be reading too deep into something, but another layer of this, whereas almost like the human body could be treated as trash once it's dead, because there was the person who died in the ICU. And I think Scully was like looking at it like, oh man, they just treat it like,
yeah.
Trash when,
and then
die.
Even when the gurney came in, she freaked out. She's like, get that out of here. Yeah, that's really good. Again, I didn't think of that. That's a good point.
But there's also a cool message in there, because it's like, all right, so we use humans until they die, then they're just trash. But then organ donation, that's mm-hmm. a way to keep it from just being trash. That's a way to make something good.
It's a way to will thing. Others back to life.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Nice.
Or recycle.
Recycle.
Yeah.
And going back to Mulder's comment about the head not being in the right bin.
Yeah. That's funny. But anyway, I think there's a little bit of a layer of a message and meaning there too.
I really liked how Scully had her turn around too and said, I need to work. We need to go. I need to go work. We've had this sort of conversation with them before where they have both said the same thing to each other after experiencing tragedy. Like, I need to get back to work. Mm-hmm. But I felt like she really, like, again, I think Gillian Anderson should get an Emmy just for this episode. She was so great. But like, she was just like, no, we got to go right now. And he's trying to, like, I don't know. I thought that was really, mm-hmm. yeah. really well done and understandable.
Very understandable.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah. And then we get to when I think the other scene with that you called your shippy moment was the best scene in the episode. But I thought this scene coming up was a very good scene, even though it was a little heavy-handed and fan-friendly, the whole, which we kind of talked about a little bit, the turning on the flashlights and going down the mm-hmm. stairs, crossing the flashlights with the X. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing.
Her high heel comment.
Yeah. Back in the day is now.
Yeah.
And they turn on, the way he said that, looked at her and turned on the flashlight. I went back and watched it like 3 or 4 times. It was just,
yeah,
it was a great
and then
scene.
She kind of clicks hers on back at him. Yep. It was almost like, hey, this is our element. Let's get going.
Exactly.
Here. I loved it.
It was
loved
so it. Good. It like, it was so cheesy and so like, here you go, fans.
Yeah.
But it was okay. It was okay.
But it would have been even better as a second episode.
Maybe so.
That's another one of those moments that are like, oh, this is, overall, I think it's put in the right place, but this would have been so much. I mean, it was awesome, but it would have made so much more sense earlier in the season, I think.
Then you have Trash Man.
Also, oh, wait, real quick before we get to Trash Man, I have got to mention Scully's badass takedown of that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I couldn't believe, I was like, shit, yes. You go, girl. I was so excited.
She
to see
is,
that.
Don't mess with Mama Bear, kind of. Like,
right.
She is pissed off and angry about her mom, so she's taking nothing from anybody.
She flipped the gun, handed it to Mulder, like, there you go, he's done.
Yeah, there you go.
Love it.
I loved it. Oh my god.
What do you guys think of Trash Man, though? Basically, making us think about ourselves, making us think about our lives, making us I don't know.
I feel
especially
like Nick
when I watched it the second time. Sorry,
I did, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm still going to throw trash out there. Good. It's going to be taken away by the truck, and I'm going to forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my problem.
But you're still going to look behind the truck?
Oh, heck yeah. We freaked out for a long while.
Oh, man. It was a very good message, though, because I did make me think. You know, I mean, I am pretty environmentally conscious. I like to think of myself that way. So I do think about the landfill, like, mm-hmm. a lot. But, like, it was interesting to bring that out and say, look, hey, most people don't think about this.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect analogy to the idea of putting something out in the world and forgetting about it and, you know, claiming no more ownership of it.
And it was set up, actually, by the school board lady who said, I come down here on Thanksgiving and feed the homeless.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You do that once, and then you turn your back to them the rest of the year, and you want right. to shuffle them around. You don't want them in your neighborhood. It's interesting because I literally just had this, and it didn't make an impact on me. Again, I'm not going to do anything about it, but I'm just going to be honest. But we were at Animal Kingdom, Disney's Animal Kingdom here, and there were homeless guys.
No.
They have their whole conservation thing, and they were talking about ways you could go out and be like kind of more on the front lines and helping things you could volunteer and do to help the animals. And I was kind of joking with my friend and having a conversation. He's like, "Well, I give to the conservation fund. When I buy some Animal Kingdom, they say, 'Do you want to donate?' I donate a dollar or two." I'm like, "Yeah, okay," but that's throwing a few bucks at the problem, and then not doing anything about it, not thinking about it.
And feeling as if you've done something.
Right.
When you really haven't done anything.
Have you? Yeah. I mean, yes, you're making a small difference. I'm not saying everybody needs to go out there in the front lines about anything, everything, but it does make you think. And I think more than making me want to necessarily go out there on the front lines, it just makes me thankful for what I do have. It's one of those.
Oh,
moments.
Definitely.
And that means
because sometimes
shit
that's
to
all
no
you
one.
Can do. This
doesn't mean right? anything.
Yeah.
So we just feel bad about ourselves and hope Scully can figure out her stuff.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
I didn't mention that we can just talk about this briefly, but you remember in Home, the original Home, when they did that wonderful, wonderful scene?
Yeah. This
they did the same thing here.
Yeah, I know. And it didn't work. It felt. At least to me, it felt like, okay, we're trying to redo that thing again, and it.
I am shocked that it did not work for Charlie. Shocked.
One of the interesting things about the trash man that I picked out of there was the fact
you picked out of the trash man.
Yeah, that I picked out of the trash. That it only took if I heard him right. I mean, like he was kind of putting his emotions in his. Is everything into this artwork, and it was kind of becoming alive but not really having any staying power. But unfortunately, that one very violent thought was in his mind when he created this piece of work. And that's what got into Band-Aid Nose Man. And that's what made him different, because then he had this idea, well, I have to go out there and do this. And I thought that was interesting because honestly, there's an analogy that like, if you have really clean water, it only takes one little tiny drop of like dirt or mud to muddy up the whole thing and you can't get it out. You can't separate it. It's not easy to separate once it's there. And that's kind of the idea here. Just one little thought of violence or something can influence the whole thing, can change the whole thing. Just one drop of something else kind of changes everything. And it really changed everything. And I think that's the same for, I think that's kind of another lesson, another thing, does that make sense? Just that one negative thought ruined everything.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously, I don't think that Trash Man intended anybody to get murdered.
No. But since that was in his head when he created this and
I think it just means that our thoughts have more influence on our actions than we think.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just, a very blunt way to say that. But you're totally right. I mean, you're right.
Now, if he changed the sculpture to a smiley face back at the beginning, would he have stopped all this from happening?
I didn't really get that. Was that him attempting to stop it?
I don't know.
Or was it just him saying it was over? Kind of. I mean, because that's what I read from the fact that he doesn't then get back into the trash compactor at the end of the last kill was that he's now completely gone because his mission was to kill these couple of people, and
we've killed these three people, so now we've solved all the evil in the world, so we're done.
Oh, he disappeared.
Yeah, because all the other times he has to walk back out, but they specifically say that they didn't see him, and that's because he's fulfilled his mission.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic there. You didn't pick up on it. Okay.
But I don't. Okay, see, the Band-Aid though didn't do it, because the Band-Aid he left at the other scene.
The Band-Aid he left on all the scenes.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think I buy the Band-Aid thing either.
And that's fine, but I didn't get the fact that he disappeared.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think
that, I like that idea, though, that he had completed his mission and was done.
Yeah.
Do you think,
or you know, he could have, Trashman could have realized after his conversation with Mulder and Scully that he was causing all these things to happen, and he changed the sculpture, and that made the guy disappear. It could chicken and the egg kind of thing. So
no, but he's there.
Yeah.
When the thing disappears, and then he changed the sculpture after that. Is my interpretation of it.
And honestly, what I'm getting at is I think the smiley face also leads to what I was saying before. I think he had happier thoughts, more positive thoughts. Yeah. Like let's change for the positive, not for the negative. And that was a smiley face. And then,
because I was going to say an actual monster with that face could be just as terrifying.
Yes, it could.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah. We'll have to wait for Home again.
What's the deal with the Band-Aid real quick? Like, he said it was like he put it on there to hold the clay together.
Yeah, and that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because like,
I didn't understand what I mean. Obviously, I get why they put the band because like a used Band-Aid is probably the grossest thing you can find in the trash. So I like that they included it in there.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand. I thought it had something to do with him maybe not wanting to breathe in the smell or not. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense because he smells all the time.
No, I think it's just
I didn't understand.
Yeah, they tried to justify it, but the justification didn't actually make any sense. Like, why? It's almost like, oh well, the middle of the nose kept falling out or something, so I put the Band-Aid up there so it would like dry or something. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
That's all that there was. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted more out of that aspect of it, and I don't think I got it.
By the way, you know, earlier you mentioned Arcadia, the episode with the golem in the gated community. I thought of another instance in X-Files where they did something similar, and it was the season 6 episode called Milagro. Do you guys remember that one?
Not by name.
That's the one where the creepy writer moves in next door to Mulder, and he starts writing a book about Scully.
Oh, yeah.
And then his character comes to life through his writing.
Yeah.
And, like, can actually physically kill people.
Yeah.
So it's very it was similar to that as well.
Yeah.
A monster, but it was like just a dude that came to life and killed people. So.
And I really don't want to get into it. I just want to give my counterpoint to Charlie's objection. The reason, no, I mean, you gave your point to why you didn't like it. I guess the reason I do like it is because of everything we've talked about so far in this show. I think I believe that there is power to emotion and thought to manifest things. Maybe not to this degree necessarily, but we don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think we can manifest certain things with the power of thought and thinking and emotion and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think I really do. And so this just brings us to that other level where it is something quote unquote physical. But honestly, when you broke it down scientifically, it wasn't organic or non-organic.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It really wasn't like he was manifesting something physically alive. I think that was just the representation of what we can manifest as people. And so I'm okay with that because I think it is a overriding theme in humanity. Like I'm okay with them reusing quote unquote this monster in a different way.
Well, and like we said earlier, I think it actually fits very well within this specific story too. So I think it made sense here.
Yeah, the theme of the
with
trash,
Scully, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to find a meta comprehension of this where it talks about the writer Glenn Morgan manifesting the story, but I don't think I've been able to put that all together. That's more of a Darren Morgan thing.
Are you trying to do the unreliable narrator thing again?
No. Okay. The whole concept that like that the writer of the story also is writing the story, thus he's creating something out of sheer will. In a way himself.
Right.
And so there is potentially this meta, but I don't think it does.
Very much like Milagro, which I'd be interested to see if Glenn Morgan actually wrote that one. But you guys should go back and watch that one because it's very similar to what we're talking about here.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we get to the end scene on the log?
I think that's all I've got before that scene, of course. Yeah. I mean, I have lots to say about that scene.
All right. Go for it. Where do you want to start?
Well, I feel like I need to get something off my chest. It's weighing very heavily on me.
Oh,
and
boy.
I kind of felt this in general about the X-Files since like Mulder left the show and then they introduced like William and everything. But I feel like the whole show in general has just felt more heavy and like dark than it used to. Am I weird to say that? Like, I'm not saying that like we haven't like our like Mulder and Scully hasn't had like tragedy before. Like, obviously all their family members are like dead. Like, this is seriously like the last family member either of them have. Like, both of them, all they have now is each other.
Yeah.
Literally. And it just seems like the whole thing with William and her, you know, voicing this guilt like over and over and over. And I mean, again, if you watched season 9, it just felt like this a lot. You didn't, but it seems like it's almost beyond the pale. Like, it's terrible to lose a family member and a parent and all that. You get that. But it's the worst thing you can imagine to like lose a child. And not that he's dead, but to Scully, he may as well be, you know? Yeah. And I just think it's awful what they did to our characters. Just with this stupid William decision. Like,
yeah.
It's so dark and it's so heavy. And I feel like, kind of going back to what Charlie was saying about kind of wishing that the mythology would wrap up so we can move on to something else. I feel that about this William thing, that I can sit here and say right now, if they don't legitimately wrap up this William thing, like meaning William's back with them or he's dead or something about him is done, then I'm going to just go crazy because I can't take it anymore. Like, it's so painful.
Yeah.
I will say, obviously, we've learned from doing this podcast. I mean, you are hardcore, watched episodes a billion times, know the names, everything. All I remember is watching The X-Files back in the day and enjoying it, I guess, on a very surface level. And I was young when I was watching them, obviously. And I do remember having a better time just sitting and watching and enjoying The X-Files back in the day for the stories, mm-hmm. for the monsters, for all that stuff. Nowadays, and it's hard because I think it's partly because I'm older, so I'm going to look at things differently and maybe look at things on a deeper level. Hopefully that's true. And, but yes, it does. This does seem more like a drama with lessons and
it's
morals.
It's like too real. It's almost too real.
It's very real. And instead of me just being taken away with monsters and fun stories and fun characters and things like that. So, yes,
like,
but mine's more on this.
Everything is colored by this, in my opinion. It's like like Scully, cannot get William off of my mind. This show to me is like that damn iPhone with his name popping up because I can't stop thinking about it because everything that's happening to these two characters is colored by this horrible, horrible thing that happened to them that they're constantly thinking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think that's what they want to do. They want you thoroughly involved in the Williams story here. And to play devil's advocate here, we only have 6 episodes and they want to hopefully you're right. Hopefully they want to wrap up the William story. I want a closure after episode 6. And it seems like hopefully that's what they're shooting for. And remember, we have 6 episodes to tell the story, probably a William theme that would have ran throughout 22 episodes back in the day.
Yeah.
So we're seeing this condensed in 6 episodes.
But you know what else too? It makes me think of, even back in the day when Mulder, you know, the whole thing was about his sister, how his sister was gone and he was looking for her and searching for her. And yes, we had moments of kind of poignancy where you're like, oh, Mulder misses his sister. That's rough. This is like a totally different ballgame to me. Like, this is like that times 100.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's hard for me to really articulate how frustrating it is because they don't seem to get it. And I'll know this at the end of the 6 if they haven't done shit with it and they've left it exactly where it is now. I will know that they don't get it because they certainly didn't get it after the series finale before. They treated William as if he was like just a subplot. You know, this is something that happened. She got knocked up and then her kid, and then they didn't talk about it again.
Yeah.
I mean, they mentioned it in passing, but they didn't deal with it like it was the biggest deal of the show, which I thought it was. I mean, I thought in my mind, I'm like, really? That was what pissed me off about the finale the most, is because they didn't get William back. Mm-hmm. It was just this horrible, sad thing that happened. And then we're never going to talk about it again. And it's going to color these characters for the rest of their lives. I didn't like that. And they don't seem to care. right now. I mean, they do seem to care.
They do.
I hope that they care, because I hope they're going somewhere with it. I guess that's my point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they have to be going somewhere with it. Milago has nothing to do with Glenn, by the way.
Okay. But was it a Chris Carter? Who wrote it?
Yeah, Chris Carter wrote the teleplay. The story was by John Shiban and Frank Spotnitz.
Okay.
And it was directed by Matt Manners.
Okay. It's a really good one, though. It really is. It's kind of dark and heavy, and again, but
it's not a guy
also
who rips people's hearts out.
Yeah, yeah. Very Temple of Doom. But yeah,
it's Kalima.
Anyway, thank you for letting me get that off my chest. And again, we'll see how this bears out. I hope we get some resolution to William that we didn't get before.
And that's fine. It'd be interesting hearing your viewpoint there, to hear from the producers. Maybe they've spoken on it before. I don't know. But maybe it just wasn't ever meant to be a main theme to them. It was just part of a larger story.
Which is ridiculous to me. You've made a child that's half Mulder and half Scully.
Because you're a mom.
And then not even treating him like a character.
I wonder if you'd have the same feeling 4 years ago.
Well, I was pissed 4 years ago, but I think now I know more why.
Well, and I think that maybe that's one of the things, is everybody's grown since in the 15 years. So maybe the family dynamic for everybody involved in the series has changed. And so now they are going back and correcting the mistakes. They're picking back up with William like Scully and Mulder need to do by the end of the season.
I hope so. I mean, that's, I really hope so, because it just seems to me that they haven't taken it seriously enough.
Yeah.
And I know that there are parents on this crew, you know, like I know they're there.
Well,
and
maybe,
so it just seems very odd.
Maybe that's part of it. Maybe, like kind of Charlie said, everybody's grown up with it. So everybody's a little more mature. And they're like, wow, we should handle this a little deeper.
I do keep forgetting that it was 15 years ago. My God, we're getting old.
All right, we'll see. So what's the deal? What did they really say? What is Scully really saying here? She says mom's basically saying she wants us to make sure we're responsible. It's our responsibility to know that William's okay, even if we can't see him. And I can't help but thinking about him. So what does that really mean? Making sure he's okay, even if we can't see him.
How do you think they're going to go about that? I mean, I don't know how. He's anonymous. Like, he's gone. Like, how were they going to find him?
When he was...
This is all leading into my musing of the week, by the way.
Oh, okay. So well, then stop me if you can't answer something. But when they gave him away, when they gave him up, was it... Mm-hmm. It was a like a seal. Like, it was a... Right, like...
They don't know where he is.
Right.
And when I say they, I mean she. Because Mulder wasn't part of the decision.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I guess on a stupid real life level, there has to be paperwork involved that they can uncover, right?
Yeah, I would think so. But I mean, everything I've ever, and I don't know much about adoption other than what I've seen on movies. Sorry, but like everything I've seen is like, it's impossible, like to open up sealed adoption records. Like there's waiting lists and all kinds of crap, and like... especially they're not going to allow the parents who are supposed to not know where they are.
So it's easier to find out that aliens exist than to find out sealed the adoption records.
Well, and that's why
I would say yes, especially with this show, with the proof we have seen.
And that's why Scully says, I'll be with you when you find out the answers to your questions.
Wasn't that an amazing line?
But I'll never be able to find out the answers to the questions I want.
I got chills. Well, you'll find all the answers and I'll be there with you.
Scenes like this is what makes me so glad that like Chris Carter didn't write this episode, because like you take that scene on the log and you put it next to the scene like in the first episode on the porch, and it's like day and night.
Yeah.
When she said that line, I wish I had like a webcam on Annie and I could see her reaction. Like I felt like Annie would be just melting.
Creeper.
Like,
that you know, that was actually a really good shippy moment too, and I could have picked that as well, because to me that's her saying I'm with you till the end.
Yeah. Right.
That was what she's saying.
Yeah.
And again, this is what I referenced earlier. Mulder, quiet the entire thing. She's asking questions. She's talking about this. If he gives no reaction except just comfort and a great look.
Mulder was on vocal rest the week they were filming this, so they just needed
He was letting her shine. This was her episode. He got
this
last.
This is definitely his episode.
This was her episode. Her
episode. Yeah. Her episode.
Yeah. But yeah, great, sad, rough episode. And then just her last line about, and again, throwing in, I want to believe, but it was not in a cheesy way. Like it was like, I didn't go, oh, there it is again. Ha ha ha. I was already weeping at this point. So it didn't even matter. But I was like, no, I watched this twice and I cried.
See, I told you, I would have loved to see that reaction. It would have been great.
I was crying both times. I'm crying thinking about it. She said, I need to believe that we didn't treat him like trash.
Right.
Like that makes me so, God, that's so rough that it she is. Thinks that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I know this, you guys, I know this is just a TV show. I get it. But like, that is rough.
Yeah.
For her to think that, even think that.
No, I mean, in real life. Yeah. I mean, think about it. I mean, this goes on. This actually goes on in real life. People have these feelings. People have these emotions. Now, these characters that you've become so close to, that you feel like are part of your family, are having these feelings. And yeah,
right.
You're going to feel for them. To your knowledge, Annie, has she ever said, I want to believe, or I need to believe, or anything like that?
I think so.
You think she said it?
I know. I mean, I obviously not even just in this season. I'm pretty sure, like that Mulder said it in the finale.
Right,
but
Mulder,
she said it. I can't off the top of my head say yes for sure. I can't think of an example, but I wouldn't be surprised if she said it at some point. But they've been. I think it's been in every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
maybe it wasn't in the second one, but it was in the first one. It was in the last one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was in this one. So they're definitely, they like this theme that they're keeping.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a beautiful, beautiful episode.
It was a great episode. So let's rate the episode. You guys ready to rate the episode?
Yeah.
1 to 10 Band-Aids. 1 to 10 Band-Aids. I guess I'll go first. I'll take the honor, Sharon. I don't remember who went first last time. I don't know. Oh, man. Is there anything I didn't like about this episode? Like, I don't want to just arbitrarily give it a 10, but I really think I have to. Because I can't think of anything bad. So I'm going with 10. I'm going with 10 Band-Aids.
Yeah. I like it. You go, Charlie.
6.
Yeah.
I figured he'd weigh in around there. But you know what? I get it, Charlie, because if you're not as invested in the emotional aspect, that's where this episode hit.
Yeah, exactly. It is. This is Scully's episode, and then they almost tangentially added this monster of the week kind of thing, and you're just like, okay.
Yeah, and for me, I always care less about the actual monster of the week.
Yeah.
That's kind of the landscape in which these stories take
place.
No,
I understand. Yeah.
But yeah, no explanation needed. That makes sense. I gotta actually, Nick, give it a 9.
Oh, okay.
9 Band-Aids. And the only reason I'm saying that is that the stuff I just brought up about just how awful I think that they're treating Scully in particular.
That's funny because, I mean, you need your characters to go through a little torment to overcome so that they're
even
greater.
It's not a little torment. As I said, it's beyond the pale.
It is. It is a lot of torment, but it's what you need to see for them to overcome on the other side, then you're much more
happy. If they do, in fact, overcome and we have vindication at the end of this, then maybe you might convince me of that, but I have to see that first.
Yeah, she needs to get to a point where she realizes what she did, at least at the time that she did it, was probably the best thing she could have done herself.
I think she already knows that.
Yeah, yeah. But she doesn't.
It doesn't matter, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter.
But it should
matter.
Like
she said, it still feels to her like she put the she put it out in the world, and now she has to take responsibility. So,
all right. But, it's Annie's time to talk some fashion with Wig Watch 2016. So, what went on in this episode? Anything stand out to you?
You're going to love my notes for this because I only have one thing written down.
Oh, boy.
And it says Gillian Anderson's cleavage.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Especially in a hospital.
Yeah. I was like, damn.
Right?
Good job, girl. Yeah, she's looking good. She looks awesome.
Like,
all the time.
It seemed, I don't know if it is or not, but it seemed very out of character for her to have that, like, extra button undone
Totally.
No, not
especially
really.
In the hot. I don't know. It just felt extra sexy in a way that, in a time period, in a moment where you're like, it's not about this. It's not about this.
It's not. But she's all grown up now. She knows when to let those buttons go.
When your mom is dying.
No, when your hot, sexy partner is sitting across from you. That's when you do it.
Did the Band-Aid nose man's get up to anything for you?
No, he's just gross. I don't have any other. I really don't have any other fashion info on this episode. I think
he did have not as
fun of a focus this year.
He had a weird thing going on. It was kind of trench coat-y, but like,
really, I thought he just was like naked.
Was he naked? Was that just skin and stuff? Oh, was that the wrappings that were around the sculpture, maybe?
I thought it was more of just like a raincoat.
Yeah, raincoat.
No, maybe you're right. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't even paying too much attention.
He was probably naked underneath that, but I feel like he had like a jacket or something on, or else that would have been even weirder. Like, they definitely would have showed us that if he was naked.
One thing that I did forget to mention, I thought they did a really good job, first of all, with his makeup, with his effects,
yeah,
whatever that was. That had to be a costume. I don't think that was CG or anything, right?
No.
Yeah. And when the school board lady punched him and like it kind of went, splattered, and it was almost like a hot waxy candle.
Yeah, ew. And she was the only one that actually kind of got put up a little bit of a fight there.
maybe it was supposed to represent the clay that he was made out of.
Clay. Yeah. It was like hot clay. Yeah. It was really cool. It was really done
hot
well.
Hot clay.
Ew. Gross. It was just gross. No, anyway, no, we don't have much other than just that's Wig Watch.
Yeah. All right. Well, then now we'll move on to where we give out our weird and wonderful and amazing theories in a segment we like to call Musings of a Podcast Host. Who wants to start?
Well,
I want to hear Charlie.
I'll start again. I mean,
yeah.
I think we already covered it, kind of, and it was even more obvious after this. We're getting William in that season finale. Like, the sixth episode is going to have William in it.
Have 15-year-old actual William.
Yeah, and there's... I almost have to guarantee that's going to happen. I mean, if it doesn't, then this whole season has been wrongly made. You know what I mean? Like,
100% like, agree with you that you... Yeah. And you better be right. You better be right, Charlie. Right. Putting all my faith in you.
In the finale... In the finale, yeah.
William's going to show up right as Scully dies.
In the finale, we're going to find out that William and Scully's mom had plenty of contact without Scully's knowledge.
That's neat.
And that is where the coin came from. I think that was a memento of William's. Maybe they went to an arcade or something like that, and then maybe William either... had to go, because I also remember I had that William Gibson connection. I feel that William is beyond his years in some way. Maybe he felt like he had to go, or maybe he was taken away in some way or something like that. But I feel like that corridor is a connection to William. And like, again, I come back to arcade because I figure if he's a teenage kid or something like that, grandma brought him to an arcade. And they had some fun one day. And maybe that's what that coin represents. Like a fun day with my grandson.
I love that idea. I think it's completely
I
wrong,
like that.
But I really like it.
Yeah, I like that, but I really don't see her actually doing that.
Fair enough.
Because, like, oh my God, that would be messed up.
There's no mention of a quarter in Moby Dick, is there?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Scully seemed as clueless as we are. I mean, that was like the small comfort I take from that is like she seems to have no idea too. I don't think we're ever going to find out about the quarter.
This season we aren't.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, my theory.
Oh, as long as the quarter then doesn't stop a bullet halfway through the season finale.
Yeah, it'll stop Scully's bullet. One headed right for her heart.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah, and then your theory of her dying will not come true because of that damn quarter.
Stupid quarter.
I think that what's going to happen, and I'm going to say this is probably a finale speak, but it could be leading up. The bad guys, i.e. cigarette smoking man, etc., are going to somehow find William. They will find him and kill his parents, his adoptive parents. They'll be dead. and that will allow Slash leave Mulder and Scully to get him back. And I think that they will get him back in the last episode.
Yeah. No, I'll buy that.
That's maybe just hopeful, wishful thinking, but that's also I think William's parents are goners, essentially, yes, is what much. I'm saying.
Sort of like Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Oh, so we have a couple episodes that I'm very excited about. The next episode, Robbie and Mellie. I do like him as an actor.
Looks so much fun.
It does. It looks fun.
All right. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at X-Files Diaries. And you can email us at xfilesdiaries@gmail.com.
And so people know that's mostly Charlie and Annie that are talking to you guys out there.
We try to tweet throughout the week, but also doing East and West Coast at time appropriate times.
Which I think is really cool. I think it's fun that you guys do that during each of the showings. And
it'd be fun if Nick did it too.
During the Central Time one.
I think Nick should do it next week so that Charlie can pay closer attention to the show.
Oh, they're in the Mountain Time one.
Okay.
Hawaii. All right. I'll do it during the Hawaii show.
Okay. I will be in Hawaii next month. Three. It's going to be over.
So. All right, everyone. I think we're done for this edition of the X-Files Diaries. And remember, everyone, it is your responsibility to believe whether you can see it or not.
Can we turn her up in our headsets a little bit more so we can hear her when she starts to interrupt us?
She's really loud in my headphones, like, already. Like, she's...
Okay, then let's switch headphones.
He wants you to hear what hears.
You're not having my headphones.
Why not?
Because they're my headphones. Hold on. No, it's not you.
No, I know it's not me. I'm just asking.
They hear you fine?
No, they can't hear me. Okay. I'm talking.
Yeah.
Talk. Right. Okay, well, now at least Nick believes you.
Hopefully these will be. Annie texted me today and said she just finished the last podcast. I forgot to put the music under the wig watch. What was really funny is we kept talking about the music that was playing under the wig watch.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Good job, man.
Well, no, because I think now it's ironically funny.